Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Shayna Farfel with Occupational Health. Today we're speaking with Dr. Reed Finlinson, Medical Director of the Vanderbilt Faculty and Physician Wellness Program, Associate Professor in the Department of Psychiatry, and Medical Director of the Vanderbilt Comprehensive Assessment Program for Professionals. Welcome, Dr. Finlinson. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Glad to.
So as most of our listeners are aware, the U.S. is in the midst of an opioid overdose epidemic, making it all the more important to have ongoing conversations about the scope of this problem and how we can increase awareness and access to treatment for those who need it. Can you start off by defining opioid use disorder for us and how this may differ or not from physical dependence to opioids?
An opioid use disorder is defined as a problematic pattern of opioid use that leads to serious impairment or distress. Doctors use specific sets of behavioral criteria to determine whether a person has a substance use disorder. Other terms that can be used include misuse. Misuse means using a medicine other than for its directed or indicated use. Abuse is the use of an illegal drug or intentionally using a medication for a non-medical purpose, such as getting high. Addiction is a primary chronic disease that involves the brain systems for reward, for motivation, for memory, and some related circuitry that leads to potential for relapse and progressive intensification of the symptoms. Tolerance is an adaptive state in which exposure to the drug results in a diminution or lessening of its effects over time, or the same dose isn't as effective as it used to be. Physical dependence engenders abstinence syndrome. In other words, when the drug is stopped, a characteristic pattern of physical and mental symptoms occur, especially if it's stopped abruptly. The withdrawal symptoms are just the opposite of the initial effects and include pain, anxiety, diarrhea, and very intense craving for the drug. And they last until the brain recovers. And the recovery time can vary from a few days to many weeks, depending on the amount of opioid and the length of time the brain is exposed to it.
How common is an opioid use disorder?
Well, the latest figures from 2017 suggest that 11.1 million Americans misused opioids in that year, and 10.5 million used only pain pills, whereas 886,000 people used heroin. And of those that used heroin, 324,000 used only heroin. And some, of course, misused both pain pills and heroin.
So this is a nationwide issue. It's affecting a lot of people. When we look closer, are there risk factors that put certain people at increased risk for developing an opioid use disorder?
Yes, people who have a history of substance abuse, and even more so if it's combined with mental illness, or people with a variety of mental illnesses, seem to be more susceptible to opioid use disorder. Young people seem to be more prone to developing dependence and use disorder. And we know that people who have adverse childhood experiences that are devastating as young people tend to have a higher frequency of opioid use disorder.
And for an individual who's using or family member of someone who's using, what might be the signs and symptoms that they would look out for of an opioid use disorder?
The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the fifth edition, lists 11 specific symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I like to group them into four sets of symptoms. Mm-hmm. The first being impaired control. In other words, the person winds up taking more opiates than they intend to use. And that can be a higher dose or for a longer period of time than they originally intended. The second indication of impaired control is trying to stop and being unable to. And then the third thing is sacrificing normal daily activities, family, work, school, hobbies, playtime, etc., to obtain and use drugs. And the fourth one in that category is craving or intense desire to use opioids. The second category amplifies my comment earlier about social impairment. People who abuse opioids can run into failure to fulfill major role obligations at work, at school, or at home. The next group of symptoms involve risky use, and that means using opioids in physically hazardous situations.
Now that we know a bit about risk factors and signs and symptoms, let's talk about treatment. What are the different kinds of treatment that may be available for folks suffering from an opioid use disorder?
The ideal treatment would be able to stop and abstain from using them. We're finding that with many of the very potent drugs that are available now, that some people just are unable to do that. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, some very effective medications have been established and shown to be effective to treat opioid use disorder and help patients get into recovery. And I think we have good treatment for it. We just need to educate the people that need the help and also their families and their communities that it is possible to help them.
And that leads straight into my next question. So if there's an individual who does want to seek help for themselves or a loved one, what are the resources out in the community or here at Vanderbilt that may be available to them?
I would first of all recommend the Tennessee Red Line. Mm-hmm. It's a toll-free telephone information and referral line that is funded by the Tennessee Department of Health, Substance Abuse Services. And the purpose of Red Line is to provide accurate, up-to-date information on addiction and referral and coordination of treatment for Tennessee citizens. I think in an acute situation, that's the first thing I would suggest that people do. In an emergency situation where somebody's overdosed, take them to the nearest hospital or administer naloxone.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Shana.
Thanks for listening. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us page on our website at www.vumc.org/health-wellness.